Mom's Movement Radio. Mom's Movement Radio. Welcome to Mom's Movement Radio Show. I'm your host, Janae Eisenstrauss. I would love to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to our show today. As always, I will be speaking to moms all around the world about their business, love, and lifestyle, bringing you inspiration, motivation, by always aspiring to keep you informed, inspired, and incredibly successful. We have a great show planned for all of you today. When we return, we are going to be talking about uplifting the single mom. Are you a woman who is serious about starting an online business that will allow you to create sustainable wealth and growth? Well, we've done the research. Let us introduce you to some of the best business professionals that have researched numerous business concepts and provide you with great free advice for developing a sustainable business online. Visit us at womensbusinesssourceonline.com. As I stated before the break, today's topic is about uplifting the single mom. I was on the Circle of Moms blog site, and I came across a community post written by Lillian McWaters. In her post, she starts sharing her own personal story. Now, this story is short enough, so I'm going to read it to all of you. Lillian quotes the Christian Bible. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it states, "Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." The rest of her post, she goes on to state that God has mandated that we help out the single mom within the church. Yet, I have found that there is a lot of condemnation even from those who are saved. My daughter is adopted, but I know of many more moms who had children outside of marriage, who left their churches after being shunned and are the victims of gossip. I have been blessed to find a church where this has not happened to me. I have never married, but shouldn't every church have some sort of support system for single parents, no matter how they came to be that way? I agree with Lillian. However, this support should not just be exclusive to the church. All religious institutions should never turn away any woman or child, regardless of the circumstances. What makes me so excited today is the guest we have coming on our show is considered a Christian celebrity. She has been featured on the 700 Club, is an author of two great books called Overwhelmed, The Life of a Single Mom, and her upcoming book, The Church and the Single Mom. She is traveling all around the world teaching churches how to be accepting, how to integrate programs, and uplift the single moms in their community. When we return, we are going to introduce our next guest. Life Masters Now Success Coaching was designed to provide you with the necessary resources for you to master your life right now. We can show you how to make transformational changes in your life and business. Let us teach you how to move forward in progression, prosperity, and power. Visit us at lifemastersnow.com. And we're back now. As I stated before the break, today's show is about the life of a single mom. It's a special edition on Mom's Movement Radio Show today. We are speaking to Jennifer Maggio of The Life of a Single Mom. She is a world-renowned author and international speaker who has dedicated her life to empowering single moms worldwide. Hi, Jennifer. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. We are so excited to have you. We always love having women on our show that are just like you that can definitely uplift and empower other moms worldwide. So let's get started on our show and let's talk a little bit about your business, love, and lifestyle. So what inspired you, Jennifer, to start your business?
Well, I think that for me, it was almost just this sense of obligation. And really, it was in part due to my own journey and all the things that I experienced as a single mom, all the things that I experienced as an abuse victim, and really how I landed in corporate America, my experiences there. All of those things culminated into what is today the life of a single mom.
That's fantastic. So how many years did you spend in corporate?
I was in corporate for 10 years. And, you know, the interesting thing about my story is I landed that job, for which by all accounts I was not qualified for, went into an interview, didn't even know what the company was, didn't know what they did. I just knew that I needed a new job. I needed some financial security, and walked in and interviewed and landed the job, and wound up doing, interestingly enough, I did financial counseling for one of the United States' largest Fortune 500 companies. And what was funny about that was that I actually, at the time when I secured the job, I was living in the projects on food stamps and welfare.
Wow.
And so it's just amazing how all the things that God did in my life, and you know, what a sense of humor he has to put me in that position in the first place.
For sure. For sure. You know, you mentioned God. How did you, now obviously you're living in the projects on food stamps. How did you start your relationship with God? Is it something that you've had from childhood, or is it something that you evolved into because of your circumstances at that time?
Well, you know, you bring up my childhood, and I'll just tell the listeners out there a couple of things that, you know, my mother was killed when I was very young, and so I was raised by my dad. And my dad used alcohol and women to really mask all of the pain he experienced from losing a wife so young. And so my home was a revolving door. And my dad married a total of 6 times. That does not include the number of girlfriends and mistresses he had in between and during the marriages. And so it was just chaos in my house very much, most of the time. And as we grew up, it was very common to have lots of abuse, physical, emotional. I began being sexually abused when I was 3 years old, went through 9 years of being sexually abused at the hands of many in my life. My dad was not one of my abusers, but nor do I think that he even knew about it. But anyway, so as you can imagine, by the time I was 13 or 14 years old, I was just so broken and so hurt. And I had been raised in church. And I know that many of your listeners out there will appreciate that even with all of the chaos that went on behind closed doors, the tumultuous lifestyle that I was experiencing, my family cleaned up very well. We were very well put together. We had the family portrait hanging in the living room. And we made a show every Sunday morning for 2 hours, and then went right back to the same crazy life that we had the other 6 days of the week. And so my life with God, my experiences with God were probably a little bit skewed. I didn't understand what it was to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. By the time I was 13, started having sex outside of marriage, got pregnant twice in high school, hid both of those pregnancies, and wound up having miscarriages both times. And I found myself a high school senior, pregnant for the third time. I was graduating high school valedictorian. I had scholarships to go all over the country. I was class president. I was on the homecoming court, the sweetheart court. I mean, you name it. I was classic overachiever. But here I was, pregnant, hid that pregnancy for 7 months because I was so scared of what my dad would say, what he would do. And found myself at 17. I called him to tell him that I was pregnant on the phone. I was too fearful of telling him in person. And his exact words to me were, "Have a nice life." I became a homeless teen mom at 17. Was not permitted back into my family home. I was not permitted to get my things. The only thing that I owned was what was on my back at the time. And that's really how I wound up in the projects on food stamps and welfare. It was out of complete necessity. I had nowhere else to go. And at that point, what we say down south U.S. is, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I mean, there was no one else that was going to care for my child. I gave birth to my child and had never even held a baby before I had him. And just what a sweet, precious angel he was, but I didn't know what in the world I was going to do with him. I didn't really even know how to care for him, but kind of put one foot in front of the other, did the best that I could. Secured a job at a little restaurant, worked full-time during the day, enrolled in the local college, went to college full-time at night, and cared for my son. And lo and behold, my longtime boyfriend came home from college break and I found myself pregnant for a fourth time.
Wow.
And the devastation that I felt, the hurt, the brokenness, how I beat myself up. I mean, was I a glutton for punishment? How could I keep doing this? How could I mean, I was barely making ends meet with the one child that I had. I had no financial assistance from friends or family. And of course, my boyfriend would have gone on back to college. And so there was no help from him. That relationship was broken at best. He had multiple children the same age as my children. He abandoned me, never so much as bought the children diapers. And interestingly, I held on to that relationship for 7 years because I so desperately desired for it to work. I wanted that to work because it seemed every other relationship in my life did not work. And so I took domestic violence for many years. I took verbal and emotional abuse for many years. I turned a blind eye to all of his indiscretions for many years, convincing myself that one day he would be my knight in shining armor and that our children would have the white picket fence and the happy family that I never had. And so your original question was about my relationship with God. You know, I came to a place where, out of utter desperation, I had nowhere else to go. I was lying on my bathroom floor in the middle of my little 350 square foot apartment with my two small children. My boyfriend had destroyed my apartment earlier that day. Some type of argument had ensued, for which I don't even remember the details. And I just cried out to the God of my youth that I was certain had forgotten me, that I was certain perhaps didn't even exist. Because how could a God exist that would allow me to have experienced this lifetime of hurt at only 20 years old? And so that was my journey back into church, was out of desperation, thinking, well, maybe the local church can help me because it cannot get any worse than it is in this moment on this bathroom floor.
Yeah. It's interesting how in our deepest, darkest moments, we turn, we search for God. You and not the exact story, but we have similar situations that have happened to us in regards to that, where you just become so broken that all you can do is cry it. So how did you come into starting this fabulous ministry that is now taking you all over the world, Jennifer, to speak to us single moms about this? Because now you're in a fantastic place and you've created a platform now that you can speak to moms all around the world, but not just moms, women, to even prevent young women from going down this path that you went down.
Well, I landed a job in corporate America and I was there for about 10 years. And that job, you know, was amazing, taught me so much about public speaking, developed my communication skills. I did financial counseling, which was so great considering everything that I had gone through. And of course, now I utilize those skills very often to encourage single moms on how to manage their finances. So went through being in corporate America for 10 years, honestly thought that I would retire there. And I got married in the meantime. My husband adopted my two children.
Fantastic.
We had a third child together. And so just, I got my happily ever after. And really, I had landed in a place of extreme financial security. You know, I had my white picket fence. We traveled. We did all of those things. And yet, I never forgot that moment on the bathroom floor. I never forgot that time of hurt and brokenness and counting pennies to put gas in the car to get to work and looking at bare refrigerator and trying to figure out how I would feed my children. I never forgot all of that. And so I really began to be burdened. I know that God really laid this burden on my heart to do something. And I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know how I would do it, but basically what I did was went into my local church that I had been attending and said, hey, I really want to do something to help single moms. And I started a very small Bible study in my home with two single moms. And I did that very faithfully for a long time. And as I did that, it grew and grew. And today, in our local church, I still volunteer and oversee one of the nation's largest single moms ministries in a church.
Wow.
And so as that began to grow, churches from around the world began to call us and say, "What are you doing to encourage single moms? How is this growing? Give us some tips." And so we really launched the Life of a Single Mom Ministries out of this necessity to empower other churches and nonprofits on how to reach single moms and how to reach them in all areas, parenting and finances and emotional security, not just giving them a handout. There's lots of government agencies out there that'll just give them a handout. And those things fill the gap where they have financial needs. But I want to teach them how to manage the finances they have. I want to teach them how to parent those babies to become effective citizens and all of those things. I really want to, I don't want it to be a one-time thing. I want it to be long-term mentorship. And that's really what we do, is we develop small groups around the country and beyond. We're in 19 countries now, to find single moms, get them connected, let them fellowship together, get them empowered, help them to share resources, and help them to be mentored.
Wow. Jennifer, just, I'm sitting here, you know, trying to fight back tears, because just listening to your story is, it is phenomenal. You and I had not even, we haven't even really spoken up until this moment, so I didn't even know that the woman that I was privileged even to speak to for a few minutes ago last week, I would never have anticipated this story.
Well, you know what I often say when I go and speak? Of course, I carry my beautiful Southern accent with me, and you know, you go all over the country, and there's only a few states in the United States that have this deep Southern accent. So people are privileged to hear. I say, listen, by the time I finish talking to you, you probably won't even understand half of what I'm saying. I get so excited in Southern. But I always start by saying, I know that I look like the white Mary Poppins from, you know, the suburbs.
You do. And there is no joke about that. I am looking at your book now, and I am truthfully looking at you, and it's just, you look like a beauty queen, like a Southern beauty queen.
Oh, you're so sweet. But you know, everybody has their story. And do you know what's been so beautiful about when I wrote Overwhelmed? I never would have imagined. I thought for a long time that I was just supposed to sit in my living room with single moms and encourage them. And then as this thing grew to be far bigger than I could have ever thought, imagined, or prayed for, I knew I was prompted to write my autobiography, and that's really what Overwhelmed is my autobiography. And as I began to pour that out on pages and try to be as transparent and as vulnerable as I could possibly be, the status of the book and how well it did, even though admittedly I had no idea what I was doing, and how the letters would start pouring in of women who say, "Your story is my story." Or, "I'm a married mom, I've never been single before, but your story, it just filled me with such compassion for women that I know have experienced these sorts of things." So it's just been beautiful to see. You know, I never wrote the book to make money or for it to be just another business adventure. I never launched the Life of a Single Mom Ministries to be just another business venture that I could put in my back pocket.
Exactly.
It really was about encouraging other women. It really was. And that's what it is to this day, honestly.
Well, and I agree with you. That's why I even started my coaching. You know, it was to empower women. I was already doing that in bits and pieces, but I really wanted women to experience what it was like to live free, free beyond their inhibitions, free beyond any type of emotional abuse or oppression that they had experienced. And now I was going to talk to you about Overwhelmed, because Overwhelmed is your first book, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so Overwhelmed is the first book. And looking through this, I see that you have a section that you have sections throughout the book where women can write, or even if they use the questions and write in their journal, about overcoming abuse, and then there's always a prayer at the end of that. So you pretty much put this together almost like a devotional.
Yes. What we did was, the first half of the book is the story. And it really, what I say often is, creates credibility. It's so that girls can read the story and say, oh, I've been right there with her. She understands. Yeah. Because then that opens the door to impart wisdom when people understand that you've been there too.
Yeah.
And so then the second half of the book, we designed it. It's actually being taught in churches around the world and in small support groups in people's homes. But it can be done with individual study or it can be done as a group study. And I broke down every major area that most single moms experience at one time in their life or another. And so there's a section on finances, just a brief overview of everything I learned when I was doing financial counseling and how they can find financial freedom. There's a section in there on overcoming abuse, emotional, physical, sexual, whatever you experienced, mm-hmm. how to begin to overcome that. And then just everything in between, just how to have emotional stability, how to parent those kids effectively. I just poured it out on the pages of that book.
How, I would say this, how has your walk with God changed?
Oh, well, you know, my relationship with the Lord was for so many years just ritualistic, just going through the steps of religion, going through what I had always been taught was the right thing to do. And as I began to go through this journey, I understood, and part of that comes with maturity and life experience, but I just understood that my relationship with God was not about the ritualistic things that were done on a Sunday morning, although I feel very passionate that you should be involved in a local church, but it was never about those things. It was about the prayers that were coming from my heart in the intimate moments that I had alone with the Lord. It was about my Bible time and what that looked like and my desire to seek out what God's Word said and not necessarily what someone else had taught me or had said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can tell you now, there is no way that I could do what I do, traveling extensively and raising three children and being a wife and a mom and a volunteer and a CEO of a company and my goodness, on and on and on. My list is so long, and so are most of the women that would be listening today. You know, you have this endless amount of things to accomplish in a day. And whether you're a stay-at-home mom or whether you're a single girl that's just entering corporate America or you're somewhere on the path in between, it's not any less significant. You're doing what God's called you to do, and it might be raising those children for a season alone, or it might, whatever it is, I couldn't do what I'm doing unless my relationship with the Lord was intact. I really couldn't. He is my strength, my source, my courage, my rejuvenation, my energy. All of those things flow out of that relationship. And I can't honestly say that's where it was when, you know, in my early 20s.
Wow. Life of a Single Mom, your latest book. Let's talk about that, why you should care and what you can do. How when writing this book, what do you want the ladies to take away from this book?
From the Church and the Single Mom?
Yeah.
The second book? Yeah. The Church and the Single Mom is really a cry out to raise awareness on exactly what is going on in our world today. You see, what I find is that most people are very unaware of the single mom's journey if you've not been on it. And so we pull statistics from 25 countries around the world. And because I'm based out of the United States, we honed in on some of the statistics in the U.S. and just said, listen, we have millions and millions of single moms around this country. And by the way, the statistics were similar for every country that we pulled.
So, and this you're 100% right. I was actually just going to say that, because there's a lot of women, I think even in since we've launched a network, most of the women that I have spoken to, Jennifer, happen to be single mothers. And I didn't share this with you, but I'm actually entering into single motherhood myself right now.
Wow.
So that's also why it was great when we connected, because I was very interested in this. And continue on though, what you want the women to take out of this.
Well, it's the Church and the Single Mom is written to everyone, women, men, pastors, community leaders, business owners. What it is saying, hey, not only do we have single moms around the country, but the vast majority struggle financially at some point or another, and it does not matter how they arrived at the journey, whether it was divorce, widowhood, unplanned pregnancy, incarcerated husband, military mom. It does not matter. The financial burden that many of these women experience is almost unbearable. Mm-hmm. The parenting difficulties, when you don't have a partner to be able to share and bounce ideas off of, and many, many of our single parent homes do not have an active father that comes in and helps. So it's just overwhelming. And every major statistic that affects our country and those beyond, crime, education, drug abuse, alcoholism, domestic violence, you name it, it's linked to the single parent home. Now, I'm very quick to say, because I know that I'm talking to a lot of single moms out there, and I don't want to discourage you, I want you to understand that those are merely statistics. Those are merely what is happening today. It does not have to define who you are. God is so much bigger than any statistic written on a sheet of paper. I know amazing single mothers around the world that are getting the job done. So I don't want you to think that I'm saying that has to be you, or that if that happens to be you right now, that you can't overcome. I mean, I've lived through almost every statistic I cite when I'm speaking publicly are things that I lived through and experienced.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. You and I are both living testaments that it can be done, and it doesn't have to be a struggle. It just depends on how you embrace that time. I think it really comes down to, Jennifer, life is a choice, and I think God always states, he reiterates this constantly, choose life. Life is the choice living well. He wants you to live life abundantly. It's not just to merely exist. It's about to being a living testament of that inspiration that the God or the universe or whatever people want to call it gives to us.
Right, and you know, the church and the single mom, the premise behind this is that when the church becomes involved, mm-hmm. When they begin to reach outside of the walls, when it's not just about us four and no more, it's all about those that are outside of our church walls, and we begin to look around at the community that surrounds us and how we can serve those in the community, we begin to see that there are single moms. Statistic for the United States is that 67% of single moms do not actively attend a local church. Yep. And so for me, that's heartbreaking, because look what the church did in my life. Look what having that relationship with God did, how it was the catalyst for everything else that happened. The church can be a place, a free meeting place, no cost for the mom, no cost for the church. There's usually a strong volunteer base in a church. And so there are ways to get tangible needs met. There's networking, there's fellowship, there's emotional and spiritual growth. All of those things can be done in the local church. And so the Church of the Single Mom creates this, it shows the problem, it highlights all of the things that we're dealing with, and then it says, okay, here's the solution. Here's what you do to fix the problem. And that the Church of the Single Mom book actually later became an entire resource kit that we have available online to really teach people all of the ins and outs of how to work with single parents in their community and do it effectively.
Well, I was going to say, have you not noticed... I've actually been writing my book, and one of the things I'm going to talk about is in the some of the things that go on in the church. What I did not share with you is that I actually previously was an aspiring pastor, so I'm well aware of some of the things that go on in the church, and especially with our young people. I think that your book is so necessary, and your kit is so necessary, because one of the things that for us that are in the church or that used to be in the church do not talk about is the high level of sexual promiscuity that goes on amongst our teens. And a lot of it is we try to keep it secret and we don't talk about that. But when I started doing my research and comparing it to other religious infrastructures, Christianity happens to have the highest level of teens having sex out of any other religion. So the reason why I think your book is so important is because I think at the end of the day that there's multiple things that we need to bring awareness to in the church, and the single motherhood is one of those things, because at the end of the day, as much as we are speaking to our youth are still engaging in sexual activity, and you can definitely say that you you were one of those kids that were in the church, that it just, it's something that still is not spoken o openly enough about. And we end up almost making single parents or the young single women or men feeling like they're not even a part. They're almost on the outside.
Right, and the statistics support that once a woman has gone through a divorce, whether the church, much of this, I always say I'm not pointing the finger at the church to say you're the problem, because much of our experiences, whether it's unplanned pregnancy or whether you've gone through a divorce or whatever, there, even if you were active in your local church, many of those women fall away because they don't feel like there's a place where they belong. They look around and they see lots of married couples or singles that don't have the same story as they do. And that's really the premise behind the life of a single mom is once we open up a support group, and I mean, we have planted support groups in all different size churches, all different types of communities, all socioeconomic backgrounds and races. It doesn't matter. Once you launch that support group and you educate the leader and the volunteers, the key people that are overseeing that ministry, on how to just have fun, be casual. It's not about, beating people over the head with the Bible. It's just about developing relationship. Once you teach them all those things, then you start to see life-changing experiences. And of course, my own personal views with that, my faith is so important in that. But I mean, obviously God is the one that you encounter, that you experience that life change with. But there's so many fundamental things and steps that you take to put you on that journey. I always say there's a lot of folks going to heaven, but that doesn't mean everybody's living the abundant life.
Well, exactly it. That's it. That's exactly it, Jennifer. Well, just to, is there any other words of wisdom you want to share with these wonderful ladies?
Well, I want to say that if you're listening to the program today, you are not listening by accident. You're on this call to hear something, to be encouraged, whether it was some part of my story that you said, wow, I can so identify with that. I've been there before. Or maybe it was just that you cannot identify with my story, but hearing it gives you such compassion for those that have gone through it. It gives you such a sense of gratitude in your own life that things could get a whole lot worse than they are today. Maybe that's what you needed to know today. I just want to encourage you to be what God has called you to be. And for those moms that may be out there that are really struggling financially, or maybe you're just so discouraged in your job, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you feel like your season is so insignificant, I want you to know that your circumstance only lasts for a very short while. And even if you're a single mom for the next 18 or 20 years, boy, I'm talking to some of you. My kids are getting ready to graduate high school, and I see the end in sight, and it seems like just a blink of an eye. So I just want to encourage you to be who God's intended you to be and embrace the season you're in, because it will surely pass quickly.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Great. Hope that you'll come back again and talk to us more about your business, love, and lifestyle.
Women's Movement Radio Show on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. with me, your host, Janae Azenstrauss, where we will talk to women all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle. Join us and be a part of a movement of women who are changing their lives by force.
I am so thankful we had the opportunity to speak with Jennifer today. Here is a woman who decided she wanted to choose life. It didn't matter what happened. All that mattered was she gave her life over to the Master, who could transform, renew, and make whole. I remember 3 years ago, sitting in my basement, reflecting on a broken marriage, feeling like I had nothing to give or offer my children. I remember seeing my good friend's casket being lowered into the ground as her nine-month-old child, being held in his father's arms, watched his mother being buried at the age of 31 with no reason of death. I remember after returning from the hospital, experiencing a horrible miscarriage, only to be awakened to a close friend of mine who broke into tears that his 5-year-old daughter had been diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. This all happened in one weekend to me. A few short weeks after this, I remember sitting in my kid's playroom asking God, how could he take a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh again? You see, many of you listening heard Jennifer's story, and yes, it is inspirational, but it's also a story of downright determination. She wanted to be more than what she saw or what anyone told her she could be. I, like Jennifer, have never talked until recently about the years of business failure. I never talked about the broken relationships I had with men. I never talked about the explicit domestic violence of my childhood that forced my mother into single motherhood. I never talked about suffering from post-traumatic stress for most of my life and only having it manifest in my late teens in dealing with teen depression. I never talked about suffering from depression in my marriage and it becoming magnified, forcing me into postpartum after my second child. The reason I never talk about it is because for those situations, they no longer matter to me. I'm not emotional now because I'm reliving those moments. I'm emotional because I count it all joy. Like Moses on the mountaintop, I can see all the abundance and great things my Creator has set before me. All of us have a journey, and some of us have been going along this journey throughout different parts of our lives, and for some of you, it may be you right now. Think about Jennifer's story. Here's a single mom who knows what it's like to be without, who knows what it's like to not be whole spiritually, to be violated physically and emotionally. Yet she came to a place of asking God, how do you take a heart of stone, meaning calloused by life, and make it a heart of flesh, softened by love? For all of you listening, please know it's never too late to be connected to the divine presence, which is love. Before you leave this week, ladies, I wanted to share a poem with all of you by Evangelist Manuel Scott Jr. It's called, My Dearest Single Mother. My dearest single mother, God has a plan for you. Stay strong, stay focused, stay prayerful, for He will surely see you all the way through. Though your burdens may be heavy and your nights may be oh so long, look up, my sister, for there is a brighter day. And He will gently guide you along. When it seems like you are not appreciated, when it seems as if no one really cares, just remember the tears you shed. God will take them and wipe them and change them into butterfly wings that will soar and flutter all through the air. My dearest single sister, relief is on the way. Relief from stress and strain. Relief from problems and pain, relief from shackles and chains. For God has just sent some angels and charged them to lift all your cares away. My dearest single mother, remember the Father is a parent like you, for He shares your hurts and hopes for your children. To Him, continue to pray, for He knows exactly what to do. My precious sister of heaven, let this thought caress you like none other. The Father deems you priceless, wonderful, and oh so special, my dearest, dearest single mother. Ladies, for those of you listening who feel you have nothing left to give, I'm reminded of the scripture, 1 Peter 5:7, which states, casting all your cares unto Him, for He cares for you. Know that you have a higher purpose. Know that there are necessary resources out there for you, provided to you by wonderful women like Jennifer, who have organizations that uplift and empower the single mom who feels alone and stranded at times by circumstance. Let women like Jennifer and I be a living testament to the factor that God can take a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh again. Thank you for listening to Mom's Movement Radio Show today. I'm your host, Janae Azenstrauss. Join me next week here on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WMRN. Lastly, ladies, please know, live to aspire, strive to empower, join to unite.
The room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the Master from her box of alabaster, and I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster vase. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You are there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
You're now listening to WMRN.